We're seeing 105 on in-flight. This service, with all of us here, I think of the saints in DePaul and the saints in Kentucky and the saints in Franklin, Tennessee, some of which will not be participating in sacrament because it's only a family. That's all there is. So I'm happy to be here and to worship with you. I'm getting people saying they're having trouble hearing. Is that true? Just a few. I trust that we have assembled to strengthen each other and to participate in the emblems of the bread and the wine, and that it will change your lives even today. I'd like to read three scriptures. The first one is in Alma, the 18th chapter, verses 11 and 12. And now, my son, I have told you this, that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn of me, that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only in and through Christ. Behold, he is the life and the light of the world. Behold, he is the word of truth and righteousness. And I'd like to go back and read from Alma, the 16th chapter, verses 228 and 229. And again, we assemble today because there are things we need to think about in our life, and this is a challenge for us to reflect upon our lives. It said, "For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I have said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end." And finally, I'd like to read from 3 Nephi, Jesus himself speaking, and this is verse 32. "And when the multitude had eaten," and of course this applies to the bread and the wine both, "behold, there shall be one ordained among you, and to him will I give power that he shall break bread or wine, and partake of the wine, and bless it, and give it unto the people of the church, unto all of those who shall believe and be baptized," and that would mean with water and the Spirit, "in my name." May God bless us as we come together and think upon the scriptures and why we're here this morning. We're going to sing hymn 41. And the men that are in front of you are all either newly ordained or have a different priesthood office except for me. And I'm happy to be associated with each of these brethren. We need to pray for them this day as they are now on their venture to serve the Lord in their priesthood office.
Our Lord, we leave the weak behind. We thank thee for this day. Father, we come here this day prepared to take your emblems. And yet, there's a lot of people hurting these days and not here with us. We ask that you'd send your angels to be with them and that you might continue to bless in each and every one of them. And be with Richard this day as he brings a message. And be with these newly ordained people that will serve your emblems this day. They let them relax and enjoy the awesome responsibility that you gave to them. Father, we love thee and we thank thee. Be with each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a reminder, all the loose money on Sacrament Sunday goes to oblation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day, and I thank you that all of us were able to make it, and I just thank you for blessing us with your Holy Spirit here today, and I just ask you, please bless this money, and it'll go to your work, and I just thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, in Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Joy that I stand before you this day. Like my brother George said 5 weeks ago, save it him. He's the only one that is currently in the same office he is in. And we got new priesthood up here, and it's a very joyous time to live in where we can still see our Heavenly Father through Revelation call men to the priesthood. I had a little experience a second ago. As I was sitting up here, of course I was saying a prayer for God to calm my nerves and help me to bring those things to these places by my heart. As I was thinking about everything that's going on and this service, the Lord impressed upon me with His Spirit how much He loves us. It's a feeling that I haven't felt so strongly before. As I look around and I see all your faces, I still feel that love. And I realize how much our God loves us and how much He loves me. Now I'll go on to my thoughts. We're renewing a covenant today. What does a covenant mean? We talk about it. We hear about it. In the ancient Hebrew times, a covenant was kind of like a contract, but it was much more. It was a binding agreement. But because they were much more than just a regular contract that we think of, most times, probably all the time, they were actually for life. They were lifetime covenants. They were lifetime binding agreements that people entered into. And there's many different kinds of covenants. We participate in the baptismal covenant, and there's two kinds of covenants. There's a parity covenant, and if I'm not pronouncing these right, I apologize, but parity covenant is between two equal people. When we enter into the waters of baptism, we're taking a covenant with all the other members that have taken that covenant before us. We're making a promise that we're going to try to live a certain way, we're going to abide by certain rules, and we're going to participate in the church. So we've taken that covenant one with each other. And that's why we call each other brothers and sisters, because that is a term that was used in that covenant, that you are now equal, you're brothers and sisters. And then we have the vassal covenant. And that is a covenant between two unequal parties, where one was more superior. A lot of times in ancient days it was used for protection. A weaker nation might make a covenant with a stronger nation for protection. They would enter in that relationship. When we entered into the water of baptism, we made that covenant with our Heavenly Father. And that covenant often was referred to as a father and son covenant. And that's what we refer to as our Father, and we are His sons. And that is a covenant that we've entered into. So that covenant in baptism, the one act of baptism, we've entered into two different covenants. And those covenants, like I said, are lifelong. In the Hebrew covenants, the process, there was many steps that were taken before the covenant was fulfilled. Like the marriage covenant, it would take literally months to fulfill all the steps before a marriage covenant was completed. But one of the steps that was often taken was that the two parties would take upon each other's name. As I was studying for this, I looked in the scriptures and I got a neat program, I looked it up, and I found at least 48 references where it talks about how we are to take on Christ's name. And that is part of that covenant that we have taken. We're taking on Christ's name. And in the blessing of bread, which will be read here in a few minutes, it says, and I'm just quoting one line, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son. So we're renewing that covenant that we made in baptism. One thing, like I said, covenants were lifelong. I'm not a scholar of covenants by any means, but as I was thinking about all this, I realized too that this is a covenant that we enter into with God that we break regularly. You know, He promises us, His Holy Spirit promises guidance and direction and protection, and we are promising that we'll keep His commandments. We promise that we'll take upon His name and witness into the world. And I can probably say with a surety that we've all probably broken that covenant this last month. We've all fallen short. And because our God loves us so much and our God wants us to be in that relationship with Him, He allows us every month to renew that covenant. And from what I've read in the ancient covenants, that was not something that was given. Usually if you broke a covenant, there was punishments and there was consequences for that. But because our God loves us so much that every month we can come back and we can renew that covenant. If we can come with a repenting heart, we can come desiring to serve Him better, desiring to do those things that we're called to do. and then we can renew that covenant. We can re-enter into it. And the other thing that I thought, as I was thinking about this, that God is so awesome is, you know, if we repent of our sins, God will forgive us, and He'll remember them no more. And I was thinking about that, you know, and I'm very thankful for that, I guess is what I want to say, because in my younger days, I had sins in my life that I did that probably, definitely at that point, would have precluded me from being in the priesthood. But because God has forgiven me for those sins, and I'm trying to do better, He has allowed me to be in his priesthood, and I thought that was something else that was pretty neat. He doesn't hold those sins against us anymore. So basically we come and every month and we just have to re-accept that gift that He has given to us. This covenant that we're going to renew today is not the end. It's not the end of, like some faiths teach, that once you accept Jesus Christ, you're saved. Once saved, always saved. But this covenant, and I'm going to read out of 2 Nephi, chapter 13. Starting in chapter 13, I'm going to start around verse 6. And this goes about the baptism covenant. Wherefore I would that you should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which shall take away the sins of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, He being holy, should have need to be baptized with water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water? Know you not that He was holy? But notwithstanding He being holy, He showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh He humbled Himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that He would be obedient unto Him in keeping His commandments. Wherefore, after He was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon Him in the form of a dove. I'm going to skip down to 14. And He said, the Father said, Repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with a full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real tent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following the Lord and the Savior down into the water according to His word, behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, and then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. And behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after you have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better that you had not known me. I heard a voice from the Father saying, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brother, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. And just jump down, talks about the straight and narrow in 25. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. You have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you receive the Holy Ghost with the witness of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which He hath made, that if you enter by the way, you shall receive. Now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I will ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. So as we today, the way I looked at this when I was reading that is, today we are entering into that gate. When you enter into a gate, whether it be going into a city or on a path, that is the first step. You're walking through the gate. You're taking the first step in that journey. And so today we're standing at the gate. And we accept the covenant. And we accept the sacraments that we're about to partake of. Then the journey begins. And we can through grace and love and faith on Him, we are allowed to enter that gate. And then we need to fulfill our covenant, which in the prayer that's going to be read, you know, remember to keep His commandments, and that we take upon His name and witness unto the world.
As we sing hymn 46, 1 through 4, we are going to sing the Amen.
begin the oath, please, as much as possible, as the prayer of blessing on the line. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Did anyone miss their portion of bread?
Good morning.
Good morning.
When George called me to ask if I would share this morning, it wasn't really a surprise. I kind of had this these thoughts running through my mind for a number of months, probably since March or April. And the topic should fit right in with what we're talking about today. I was a little concerned at missionary family camp, or family missionary camp, whichever way it goes, when I was sitting in Doug Patterson's class and he started talking about some of the things I want to talk about today. He didn't cover it all, though, so I was a little relieved at that. But then when Richard got up this morning and started talking about covenant, I really got concerned because that was the title of my remarks this morning. It constantly amazes me the way that God can put the same thing on the hearts of two different people. That's one example today, but then this morning I was came in a little early because we can't find our hymnal at home, so I was coming to find the hymns I was wanting to use for the prayer service this morning. The first one I had written down was 105. This was prior to my getting a bulletin this morning, and I didn't even look at that. I was still looking through the hymnal, and Joe turned to me and he says, you might want to rethink 105, because that was the first hymn that George should pick for this morning. Like I said this morning, I want to talk about covenants. And the first one I want to talk about is a covenant that broke a command of God. When the Israelites were preparing to come across the Jordan into Canaan, through Moses, God gave them a commandment that thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, and he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall be no man be able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed them. I guess I should stop there and apologize. I don't have the scripture references today. I have things out of Genesis, Exodus, Alma, 1st and 2nd Samuel, possibly even Deuteronomy. I can't remember for sure, but I don't have the references for you. After the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, things were going pretty good for them. They'd march around the walls of Jericho and knock those down, and clean the city out of its inhabitants and burn the city. The only survivors there were Rahab and the members of her household who had, she had allowed the spies of the Israelites to stay under her roof, and was thus granted safety. The next city that the Israelites went to was, I'm going to pronounce this I'm not sure how it's pronounced, it's Ai. To conquer this city, they had to set up an ambush outside the city, and Joshua took some forces and attacked, and then fell back to make the people of the city think that they were winning. And when the king saw this, he called for the people that were left in the city to come out and fall upon the Israelites to destroy them. However, he wasn't aware of the ambush, and when the people came out of the city, God told Joshua to raise his spear and point it at the city. He said, "Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand." And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. When all was said and done, at the end of the day, Ai was totally destroyed, and all of the inhabitants had been killed to the number of 12,000. Only the cattle were spared as spoil for the Israelites, according to the commandment of God. Well, needless to say, the rest of the inhabitants of Canaan were getting a little concerned about the situation. And all the kings had gotten together and decided to come up against the Israelites, with one exception, the Gibeonites. And when they had heard what had happened to the residents of Jericho and Ai, they came up with a plan. They made themselves, as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted. Now I looked up clouted, and as near as I can tell, this means mended, because it says it was covered by pieces and it could be many different colors. So they were trying to make themselves look as if they traveled a long ways. And old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And I went to the men of Israel, and Joshua, and said, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league or a covenant with us." They were asked who they were and where they were from, and said that from a very far servant or far country thy servants have come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, "Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey." They were stretching the truth just a tad. Well, Joshua made peace with them and made a league or covenant with them and let them live. And the princes of the congregation also swear unto them this league. 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that they were neighbors with these people after coming upon their cities. And the people of the Israelites were angry with the princes who had swore the covenant. But the princes told them that since they had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. What they did, however, is turn them into servants, hewers of wood and drawers of water. The Gibeonites told Joshua that they had heard that God commanded Moses to give the Israelites all the land and for them to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. And they confessed that they were afraid for their lives. They then submitted themselves to Joshua, Joshua's will, at which time he made them servants of the Israelites. By doing this, Joshua chose the covenant that he had made with the Gibeonites over the commandment of God to kill all the inhabitants of the land. I'd like to move now to another covenant, and this one is just between two people. Jonathan and David had a covenantal relationship. And we read about this in 1 Samuel. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, this was David after killing Goliath, I believe, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Now a covenant is a mutual consent or agreement between two or more people to do or to forbear some act or thing, a contract. When you covenant with someone, you enter into a formal agreement, you stipulate or you bind yourself by a contract. Now by giving his clothes and military gear to David, Jonathan recognized that David would one day be king of Israel. Rather than being envious or jealous, Jonathan submitted to God's will and sacrificed his own right to the throne. He symbolically and prophetically transferred the kingship of himself as the normal heir to David. This follows a precedent where Aaron was about to die before the Israelites crossed the Jordan. And Moses was told to take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. This was a symbolic passing of Aaron's authority to his son, who became the next high priest. On more than one occasion, Jonathan helped save David from his father Saul. thereby upholding the covenant. After Jonathan's death, David was under the impression that all of Jonathan's family had been killed, but he came to find out later that Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was also a cripple, was still alive. David sent for him, and needless to say, Jonathan seemed a little bit leery of going to see this new king, not knowing how he felt towards him. However, he did go and talk to David. And David honored that covenant that he had made with Jonathan by restoring unto Jonathan's son all the lands that had been Saul's. He also took him into his household and had him eat at his table and share the things that David had. He was treated as the son of the king. Alma says, "Yea, go, come and go forth and show unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments. And witness unto him this day by going into the witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism." And in Galatians we are told that ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you who have entered into the have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. By going into the waters of baptism, as Paul says, we have put on Christ. Or in other words, he has allowed us through that ordinance to become sons and daughters of God. This is similar to Jonathan giving his clothes to David and signifying David's future kingship, and Eleazar being given the garments of Aaron to signify the passing of the priesthood to him. We do have to uphold our part of the covenant, which is to keep the commandments of God. If we do, God's part of the covenant will be that we will be found guiltless when we are judged at the last day. Alma further states that if we uphold our part of the covenant, we will be granted eternal life. There's another covenant that I would like to touch on today that is tied to us keeping the commandments of God. God made a covenant of Enoch. You can find this in Genesis. A little later, after the flood, God told Noah, "When men should keep all my commandments, Zion should again come on the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto myself, and this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy, and the general assembly of the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven, and possess the earth, and shall have place until the end come. And this is my everlasting covenant, which I made with thy father Enoch." Now, I don't know about anybody else here, but I know that speaking for myself, that I certainly don't know all of the commandments. So I don't know how I can keep them all. At reunion, during the dedication service, I stood up and said that as a family, we would try... No, I didn't say try. I said that we would study out the commandments of God so that we would know how to keep them. Well, we have yet to start. But I would like to be one of those who communes with the church of the firstborn. And if you know about the work progressing in Latin America, Africa, and India, you will understand why it is my belief that we are in the days when righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth, unto a place which I shall prepare, an holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, the New Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, "Then shall thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom, and they shall see us." And we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. Let us keep in mind the prayers that were said over the bread and the wine today. And always remember him and keep his commandment, which we covenanted to do when we entered into the waters of baptism, that we can be found worthy at that last day. Let's prepare ourselves by familiarizing ourselves with all the commandments, both obvious and obscure, that we can be God's people, the ones who have embraced the truth and looked upward, causing the heavens to shake with gladness, and the general assembly of the Church of the Firstborn to return. Let us be among those who are waiting to greet them with open arms.
Before we have the closing hymn, Brother Dan would like to share. And the closing hymn, we will sing the Amen.
Our sister Susie Saunders is carrying a tremendous burden right now. I assured her she was part of our church family and that we'd pray for her. So I'm going to ask Brother Adams if he'd offer a special prayer for Susie, that God's love would pour out upon her and she'd feel his grace.
Dear Heavenly Father, we felt the need this whole hour until it was announced. Up until it was announced, I saw Susie suffering. Father, she's a dear to all of us. Whatever her burdens are, we are there with her. We'll lift it and carry it with her. Father, we're all here for one another. Our love will hold us until you can touch us with your great, almighty Spirit and lift us up. We ask that you would send your angels to be with Susie and that whatever her needs are that might be met, and that we all continue to remember her and uplift her every hour on the hour for the rest of this day. That we put it on our hearts. And that she might feel our prayers on the hour. Father, we wonder why we struggle, but it's not to wonder. We know that we put it in your hands, that you'll guide and direct us and share your love where it's needed. Father, we ask this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Pray that you'd be with us and send your spirit to continue to be with us as we leave this place and go about our lives this upcoming week and month, that we might always remember you and search out those commandments that we might be able to keep them, that we would have your spirit to be with us. Pray that we would remember your name always in all that we do. And I thank you for being with us here today. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm sure I got to.